to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome back to the Divine Breadcrumb Podcast. I'm Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back, everybody.
So if you're new to the show, you picked a great day to start listening because today we'll be talking with Crystal Heineman, founder of Crystal Sunshine Psychic Services. Crystal is a formerly trained, certified clairvoyant, psychic, and healer, and she's also co-host of the Metaphysical Q&A Podcast. Crystal is also the creator of the Ascending Woman Workshop and Community, which is one of the things we want to get into today, discussing who is the Ascending Woman. I'm very excited about that. So Deb and I first became aware of Crystal through the Metaphysical Q&A podcast that I just mentioned, which she co-hosts with Dr. Lauren Cielo. Some of you may recall we had Dr. Lauren on the show a few months ago. And shortly after the show aired, Crystal and I started chatting through Facebook. And I have to say, Crystal just has this beautiful, welcoming energy, you know, the type of energy you want to be around all the time. So lots of great things to get to, including some mini readings. So welcome, Crystal. We are thrilled to have you here.
Oh, my goodness. It is my honor to be here in your presence and your audience presence. I'm so excited. I've been so looking forward to this. So thank you for that amazing introduction. I hope I live up to it.
We already have. We're so excited. So we know you were raised in what you refer to as a spiritually open space. And then you hit the teenage years, were enrolled in Catholic school, and your connection with the divine was kind of put on the back burner, which seems to be very common in the teenage years. Mm-hmm. Share with our listeners, if you would, a little bit about your childhood and the journey that led you where you are today.
Oh my gosh. Well, great question. Yeah. You know, my parents were very, very young when they had me. My parents were 22 and 23. And I was actually my mom's third child. So yes. And we grew up in Southern California. Just my mom and dad were raised in the Pacific Palisades area of Santa Monica, California. And at that time, you know, they were just young surfers, right? Sort of like living out their life. It was, of course, that was an ascension period at that time. And we were just very open and they were very open. And so then, of course, I was brought into this, you know, kind of crazy young environment. And of course, with young people, right, they usually tend to be a little bit more open, you know, to what's going on around them in their environment. And they were very much connected to the ocean. They were very much connected to Mother Earth. And they raised me to be, and of course, my sisters, to be a vegetarian. I've never had meat my entire life. Wow. And yeah, and the whole concept with that was, of course, clean living. And my mom would actually make our baby food, right? She wouldn't buy anything store-bought. You know, they grew everything. You know, kind of what you're starting to see again today, you know, in today's time, right? We sort of got away from that for so many years. So that was really a time for that. And the concept of that was and I thought this was really, really interesting, was they thought if they raised us clean, right, if we were sort of pure, if you will, quote unquote, that we would be able to complete our life's karma and not have to keep on incarnating as many times as, you know, most other folks incarnate. So I guess that was their motivation for raising us vegetarian. So I thought that was really fascinating. I don't know if that's true or not, but but I feel like I've lived through a lot of karma, that's for sure. So I don't know if food really had anything to do with it. But yeah, and so I'm still vegetarian. I've never ever had meat before in my life. My sisters sort of went off the bandwagon. No one's ever had red meat, but you know, they sort of chose fish and, you know, chicken for their diets. And for me, I just haven't gone that route. So, and then with that, they really were, well, my mom was raised Protestant. My dad was raised Catholic, which was really interesting. So they sort of had that foundation, but then they really raised us with the foundation of reincarnation, obviously. So it was very sort of like a fusion environment to be brought up in, where it was very strict, but then in the same token, it was sort of open. So it was sort of a dichotomy, right? And, you know, like my dad went to a Catholic school, you know, where they actually had rulers, you know, and smacked them, that sort of a thing. So he was very strict with us, but then it was very open in as far as, you know, there was a lot of drugs in the family, a lot of like hallucinogenic drugs, you know, the concept of opening up your third eye, that sort of thing, you know, we're seeing things bigger than us and reincarnation. So that's what I was raised with. I mean, it was reincarnation was the basis of all for us. And so it was kind of something that they held over our head, you know, like karma's going to get you, right? Yeah. It was like, it wasn't your everyday guilt. It was like, oh, your soul's paying for that. So, yeah. So there was a lot of guilt with that. That's for sure. Like, but that was, you know, it actually, when I look back on it, you know, having a foundation of like knowing that it was something deeper, you know, than just my physical body, right? It was my soul that was going to have to quote unquote pay for things. Like it really made you look at things twice and be like, maybe I don't really want to go down that avenue. I think I'm just going to go kind of easy over here. And I was a pretty easy kid. Like I never ditched class, you know, I was a great kid. So yeah, it was really interesting though.
That's cool. It's interestingly enough, my father, who, you know, he was much older than all of us, was raised in the 40s. He was also raised vegetarian.
Interesting.
And his family was Seventh-day Adventist, which is
yes,
very strict religion. And he ended up leaving that. And in part of his, you know, journey, he ended up getting into the reincarnation and all of that as well, which is how I was also raised, although we were not raised vegetarian. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's really sort of fascinating.
Isn't it that the two are connected? And yeah. I think the concept is, and I don't know if they were aware of it at that time, but I do think the concept of it is that everything has a vibration, right? Everything's energy and information. And, you know, ingesting animals into our body, right? Yeah. You're sort of carrying that along and, you know, maybe treat everything well. I think that, I don't know. I mean, I looking back on it, like that makes sense to me as why they would, you know, have the concept of food and religion. But then it didn't seem that it sort of bridged together, right? There wasn't really an explanation.
Yep, right.
Yes.
But when you think of it that, I mean, it does, it makes sense because yes, everything does have energy, right? So that makes sense and makes me pause now about the fact that I'm not a vegetarian.
Oh, don't feel guilty of that.
No.
Feel guilty.
No guilt. Good. But it does make me rethink it a little bit.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I'm very happy I was raised this way. Growing up, you know, I felt like I was such an abnormal kid, but of course, you know, being raised in a beach community in Southern California, I wasn't the only child, you know, in elementary school that was vegetarian. So I mean, that was good. You know, I wasn't raised in the Midwest where maybe it would have been really crazy, but I still felt crazy. You know, my parents named me, my middle name is Sunshine. So it's like, I still was a little out there and there was a lot of shame, you know, I just hadn't really come into myself. You know, it's like, you know, of course, you're just this little kid, you know, named Sunshine, and you're the vegetarian over there. So.
Oh, I love that, though. So, okay, so you were a good kid, you know, things were going well. So when did things kind of change?
Yeah. Well, definitely teenage years. And there was a lot of, my parents separated when I was five and my mom, remarried right away to a wonderful gentleman that raised me. So our household definitely shifted when I was about five or six. And so I actually didn't see my biological father until I think he came once when I was 12 and then again when I was 18. Wow. So it was, So he really disconnected himself from, our lives. And then I was so fortunate, you know, to be raised by this wonderful man, but it definitely shifted, you know, our home environment. You know, he was from the South, you know, so of course, you know, it's definitely a shift in space by all means. And then there was a lot of conflict that started happening in our household. And And then it got really, really uncomfortable, right? It got really uncomfortable. Oh. And I started making my way through like the wounded healer, right? Seeing all of this, you know, conflict in front of your eyes when I was a pretty, pretty gentle kid. So it was like, it was pretty tough for me.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then, you know, I was thrown into Catholic school and I'm like, what? What's going on around here? What? I wasn't raised with these beliefs. And, but you know, I was always a really strong-willed kid, you know, I was always super friendly. So, you know, so I definitely am fortunate in that manner where, you know, life was very, I don't want to say very easy for me, but, you know, I was able to make, you know, great friends very, very easily. So I was really blessed with a, you know, good social pros, I guess I should say. And then right after, I didn't really have direction from my parents as far as, you know, what do you do when you're an adult? That was really never spoken about. You know, grades were never spoken about. College was never spoken about. There was no direction as to what happens after you graduate from high school. And both of my parents didn't even graduate from high school. So there was literally, you know, no direction. And so what I did was I was like, I have to get the heck out of this town, right? This small beach community I'm living in. I knew that at 18, that if I lived in this place, that I was never going to grow. How I knew that, I have no idea. And so what I ended up doing was back then, you know, I'm so old now, like we had no internet, right? We didn't just go on Google and like, you know, search what you're going to do, right? You actually get the phone book out and you go through white pages and you're like, what the heck am I going to do? And I decided I was going to go into the airlines. I decided that I wanted to grow. I decided that I wanted to travel the world. Like that was going to be my college. And how I knew this, again, absolutely no idea. But I knew that's what I wanted to do was get out and I wanted to have someone pay for my travel for me to learn. So I actually wrote all the airlines, right, saying that I requested employment because that's what you did, right? Right. And, you know, looked up 800 numbers, you know, and called them, got HR, you know, that sort of a thing. I went down, you know, took a lot of time to do it and I got a response back. And so I was hired within 3 weeks and I moved to the East Coast. Yep. I moved to the East Coast and I was the third youngest individual in a class of 100. And they hadn't hired in like years and years. And so by the time I was actually fed out onto the lines and you know, working on planes, my age was about the seniority of everyone I was working with. So it was, you know, again, I had to really step forward, you know, into my skin and just, you know, whether I'm a big, you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, you fake it till you make it, you know, here's this young, like, you know, this young girl that, you know, was raised in this tiny beach community. And I'm working, you know, with these 50-year-olds that have been working carts for 20, 30 years and across, you know, to Europe and stuff. And it's like, oh, I have to somehow find confidence in this and just move forward. And that was really, and then that was when I really started to come up with some challenges as well. You know, I realized I felt like very alone in the world. Mm. You know, here I am, you know, flung out on the East Coast, you know, I'm flying to Europe. We didn't have cell phones, you know, so you feel like pretty disconnected from like your family, your environment. And then at that point I just started, you know, what does someone do when you don't know who you are and, you know, you're in your 20s and you're searching for yourself, you know, you sort of fill a void. And, you know, I started dating, you know, and just, you know, these awful, awful, you know, awful guys I started dating, you know, just, you know, and I guess we all have to go that route sometimes. I mean, right. I started dating, you know, these guys that I thought would fulfill me, you know, I was always seeking and, you know, they didn't treat me very well. And of course, that was just a reflection of, you know, what I felt about myself by all means. So it's like, I just stood there and took it. And I eventually got married. Somewhere down the road, I actually, you know, found some man in aviation and I got married and he was just horrible too. You know, he was just, oh my gosh, he was just horrible. But you know, when you're in it, you just don't know it, right? You're, of course, like working through so much energy, you know, you're working through all these, you know, these lessons that you're trying to experience, you're trying to learn and you're trying to grow. And quite honestly, I would not redo any of it, right? I would not redo any of it. I am so, so appreciative of, you know, those circumstances, those men that I put myself in that, right? I'm not a victim to any of it. I put myself in there, you know, very willingly, but I really, really learned that I just lost myself completely. Mm. Absolutely, completely. And with my divorce, well, with my marriage, I was married for 5 years and I was completely isolated from my family. You know, he encouraged me to quit my job, you know, something that, you know, I had really strode for, you know, strived for. And, you know, really, really isolated me where I just had completely, completely become a shell, right? Oh. There was like no soul left in me. It was just like I was existing, waking up every day, going through the motions, you know, and I am not a depressed person. You know, I'm a very joyful person. I've always been a very happy person. That's sort of the energy I'm comfortable in. And I just woke up one day and I, you know, surveyed my body, you know, my soul, like everything. And I was like, who am I? Like, what is this? This is so uncomfortable, right? I'd gained weight. Like my body felt uncomfortable. My soul felt uncomfortable. Like everything about me felt uncomfortable. And I knew from that moment, I was like, that's it. And I've always made decisions like that where it's like, and of course, that's when you know, when a soul contract has been, you know, signed, sealed, delivered, it's up, you know, you just wake up one day and you're like, okay, I am done with this. This yeah. is not feeling good anymore. And I literally, you know, I just packed that day. I packed my stuff up. I packed my dog up. You know, I left my beautiful home. I left a note and I was like, I'm out of here. I cannot do this. I am out of here. And it was at that moment, you know, and then moving forward, that that's when I found my spirituality, right? That was when I really, really wanted to dive deep into myself because I hadn't done it, right? I had just been numbing myself for so many years and the parts of me that I didn't even know existed anymore. And I just knew that I needed help and I didn't know where to go. You know, I didn't really have like a good foundation of, you know, friends anymore. I didn't have a good foundation of family anymore. You know, I had completely removed myself from everything, but I knew I needed help and I knew that it wasn't going to be traditional therapy that was going to help me. For some reason, I knew that. I knew just talking to someone was not going to help me. And I knew that I had to start looking at myself on a soul level and to figure out why I was putting myself in these experiences. And I always knew that I had to take ownership for myself, right? I never was comfortable running like the victim energy, like, oh, why am I going through all this? You know, oh, it's so, you know, I'm such a victim. That has never been me. I knew that even though, you know, my husband was doing awful things to me and I was just this shell of a person, so it's not like I was reactive, right? I was just taking it. But I also knew that I was an equal participant and I knew that I had to dive deep into my soul's issues and also, you know, my personal issues and look at to why I was creating this for myself, right? And why I was wanting to experience these things. And then that's when I really dove deep and just really went down the rabbit hole of spirituality. Yeah. Yeah. And here I am, you know, about 15 years later. So yeah. Yeah. In a nutshell. Mm-hmm. So that was my breadcrumb. Yeah. Being the wounded healer, you know, and figuring out like, this is not okay. And making that choice, right. To be like, this, you know, of course I could keep on living like this. Of course I can, right? And that's usually how most people live, right? We're so, especially as Americans, we're so numb. We're just so numb. And I didn't want to be numb anymore. I didn't want to. I wanted to, like, I figured I came here for a reason. Like, what's my reason? And I have to really start feeling things again. And here I am. And I feel things so much now.
And that's a good thing.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah.
It feels really good to feel. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, just the lessons that come out of all of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And realizing, trying to be in sort of a neutral state of realizing that we're filled with experiences, right? Some are really great and some are really awful, but it doesn't mean that either is good or bad, right?
It's exactly.
Yeah. And really being like, oh, that was really, really uncomfortable. Okay. So what am I trying to experience here? What am I trying to learn? Because that was really uncomfortable. Right? Like, oh, and I was actually feeling that yesterday. My most comfortable state is joy and amusement. But for some reason yesterday, I was feeling so much sadness. Aww. And Yeah. And it makes me uncomfortable to be sad. Like, it makes me really uncomfortable. But there was parts of me, and it's just, you know, I've been single for so many years because I've been on this, you know, journey of really trying to discover myself. So it's me and my dog. And I'm like, and you know, they're so telepathic. And I kept apologizing. I'm like, I'm so sorry I'm feeling so sad. Like, I'm trying to survey my body here. So, yeah, but it's good to feel that.
Yes. So switching gears just a little bit, Carol and I are huge fans of the Metaphysical Q&A podcast.
Oh, thank you.
So how did that how did the collaboration with Dr. Cielo come about?
I love him so much. Yes. Oh my gosh. I am so grateful for him. And it was actually him who yesterday helped me recognize my sadness. You know, all he had to say was, you know, I said, I'm sad. And he said, you're always welcome in my home. And it was that where I said, oh my goodness, I was so sad because I felt unwanted. Thank you for appreciating me. Right. So it's like, we've got a really great relationship like that. And I'm just so blessed that, you know, we're in each other's lives. So what happened was, of course, I found him on Gaia, probably like a lot of people do.
Yeah, that's how we found him too.
Okay. And I was watching Gaia, you know, my rabbit hole of spirituality, right? I got to soak everything in. And I saw his program with George Norrie about soul contracts. And it really resonated with me where I was like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, I have been diving deep into finding something to where we're not all victims. And this is the information I was looking for. And I think a lot of people, right, that's his sort of his, you know, that's his real big meal ticket, right? That episode was just so great for people to see. And so I really resonated with that. And of course, I reached out to him. And then I took all of his programs. So I worked with him for a year and a half in his clairvoyant programs. And so, you know, like a clairvoyant one program, a clairvoyant two, and then a teacher's program. And we enjoyed each other so much that after the teacher's program, I said, you know, hey, you know, I would love to keep on working with you. And so then at that point, I became his assistant for a year. Wow. And then when that was over, you know, and so we were spending all this time together, right? And then so when that was over, we both were like, huh. Well, we kind of don't want this to be over. So what can we do so we can still, you know, work together in this capacity? So we both sat on it for a little bit. And I'm a big paddle boarder. You know, I love being in the ocean. I love being with nature. And that's usually when a lot of my thoughts came in. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have to create some sort of platform, right? Like, we have to. And we both essentially had the same thought at the same time. And we connected and we were like, this is it. This is what we're going to do. And it started with a podcast, right? And the whole podcast concept is that we're really just trying to sort of make metaphysics accessible for everyday living, right? The concept that, you know, it's so easy to understand, right? That everything's energy and information. It's so easy. And once you sort of grasp that easy concept, right, then that can really allow you to shift your space completely. And that was really what we wanted to bring forward. So we were like, well, let's do it in a podcast. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, it evolved into teachings. And all of a sudden, you know, we're constantly growing. We're constantly shifting and changing. And quite honestly, I mean, the short end of it is that we just have so much fun playing together that we wanted to create something.
We get that. Totally.
Yeah, we totally get that. That's part of how this came to be. Yep. So.
Isn't that the funnest thing where you can create something out of joy?
Yes.
And yes, exactly. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, we get it.
Yeah, absolutely, we get it. So on your website, you say that you consider yourself to be a mind, body, and soul stylist. What exactly does that mean? And what can people expect when they have a reading with you?
Yeah, isn't that fun? Well, really, it's about transformation, right? And I don't really like the term coach, not that there's anything wrong with it by any means, but I don't really consider myself a coach by any means, because I feel like that sort of is giving someone a lot more power than I'm comfortable in taking, right? And I don't really like that. I like everything, you know, we're equal playing fields, right? It's an equal exchange of energy. And so the concept behind that is really about transformation, that if you take the concept of metaphysics, right, where everything's energy and information, that we all have free will, right? We, our higher selves, which is the soul aspect of us, is really creating all of these experiences in life for us to learn from them and for us to grow from them, right? And so we really are our own personal universe from within. Mm-hmm. And right, like we all are one, of course, but we all, you know, if we were to realize the power that each one of us has from within, right, it starts at the core from us within, right, at the soul. And if we work on the soul, right, if we really transform the soul and really bring forward our personal power, really understanding, you know, that we all carry this power within, it's sort of almost like a Wi-Fi signal sort of emits out, doesn't it? Like if you work from the soul, sort of emits out into the body, right? Emits out into, you know, your mind, right? Your mind becomes a little bit less stressful, a little less anxiety, like that we run, you know, so often here. And I really do, and I think that's why I consider myself a mind-body-soul stylist, is that I want to help transform you, right? I want to help transform you into the concept that life can be absolutely blissful. Life can be, you know, ease and grace. Life can, you can run amusement, you can run joy, you can run bliss, you can run all of this, right? It's not that my life is any easier than anyone else's, right? I'm thrown with all of the same stuff that everyone else is, but how am I choosing to read the information in my space and in choosing how to react to this world? And that's really what it's all about. And so that's really, so a session with me, of course, I mean, I'm clairvoyant first and foremost. So, and most of my clients, you know, that's what we end up, you know, being drawn to each other for, is clairvoyance, right? And so with a session with me, I usually spend a good 10 to 15 minutes in meditation prior to a session, you know, really connecting and getting some information. And so a session usually begins with, you know, what I was picking up. And then of course, you know, the client's like, oh my gosh, you know, how did you know all that? And then of course I'm like, well, you're creating it. I wouldn't have been able to read it had you not created it for me to read, right? And for me to interact with. And then of course we move on with questions and stuff. And a lot of the times, you know, I'm so blessed to have such a wonderful clientele where most of my clients, you know, it's like they really are here for the soul's growth, right? They're really here to transform themselves. And so, and I learn so much from my clients, right? It's so much of a gift for me. And it's so wonderful to be able to be in that space, because usually I have a session with a client and it's usually something I have to learn from it too. Mm-hmm. And that's how clever our higher selves are, right? It puts us in situations for us to learn too, if we just sort of get out of the way of our higher self, right? And experience it. So yeah, so that's really what I think my work is all about. You know, that's what it is for right now. And it's constantly transforming. I'm constantly in a creative space, you know, and really, but honestly, being, you know, intuitive, being clairvoyant, I'm just here for my clients, right? I'm just here to serve. So whatever my client wants at that time, you know, however best I can, you know, help them along the way, that's exactly what I'm here for. Ugh. I'm not fussy.
So much of what you said, I loved how you said the equal exchange of energy. I think that's so important because, and I know you don't like the word coach. I've recently become a coach. But I love what you said, because it's true. Whenever you coach someone, you're getting something back as well. You always learn something. So I love that.
Oh, yeah. And I hope I didn't offend you.
No, not at all. I totally get it. I was like, oh, now I can't use that, but I love that. I love the whole idea of it.
No, please use it. Please use it. My information is your information. I am all here about lifting my sisters up, right? I mean, please use it. Yeah, absolutely. And we need people like you. Yeah.
Well, speaking of lifting sisters up, one of the reasons we are excited to talk to you is to discuss the ascending woman. So would you define what that means and then talk a little bit about what this mission is for you?
It is a mission. Thank you for recognizing that. Yeah. Well, the ascending woman, essentially it's you, it's me, right? That's who the ascending woman is. And it's something that I worked on in my space for quite some time. And actually, Dr. Lauren and I, you know, we're always throwing back ideas with each other. And it was something, you know, we sort of help each other expand on. And the reason why I sat on something like that for so long is I had to work through it in my own space, right? I had to work through some stuff to figure out who is the ascending woman in my own space. And it's something that I've been becoming, right? And that's usually what our work is, right? If we were to sort of pull ourselves back and be like, okay, so what are we working on in our space? Oh my gosh, I can create something for this, right? That's going to help others. Because I know that I'm not the only one going through something like this. And sure. Yeah, especially with women. And right now, I mean, it's at the front center of everything, right? I mean, sort of take, I mean, right now, I mean, we're in 2019 recording this right now, and our political stance is, you know, something, you know, you're going to find that out there. But of course, the Me Too energy right now, right, about really bringing the power of women forward, right, really bringing our voices forward. So it couldn't have happened at a better time with that, where I too was discovering my voice, right? I too was trying to figure out, like, who am I in this world? And the reason why I created that is because, I myself am not like any example that I ever had in my life. And, you know, I come from a very large family, lots and lots of women. They're very fertile. And you know, like every cousin, like everyone has birthed, you know, like 4 to 6 kids, like, you know, that has been my family. And I knew even in my teenage years, you know, we had a lot of teenage pregnancies. I knew in my teenage years, I was like, that's not for me. And I was actually even slow in my sexual development because I was scared to even have sex because I was like, if that's what that does, if that creates a baby, like, I'm not going anywhere near it. Like, I'm not touching that. And so I knew I pulled myself back for that. So I always knew that that was something that I didn't want to become. But there was no one like me in my family, right? What you did was, you know, you birthed babies, you got married, you know, there was not one happy marriage, you know, in my family and an example of it. And you just, you know, that's what society did. The women didn't really work, you know, you got married, you had kids, and, you know, you just kept on going on and on and on. And it never resonated with me. Like even the concept of being pregnant, I would sit with that and I would be like, oh, that just makes my body feel uncomfortable. You know, there were so many things about it. And so, and then also, you know, having, you know, forged a career for myself, that was something that the women in my family didn't do. And I really just felt this strong fire within me that really wanted to create for myself, really wanted to be the voice that could be heard, you know, and really stand up for the concept of like, the ascending woman is whatever you want her to be, right? And for us to not be judged as to what we want to live at. Just like, you know, and of course, I love my men, right? I love my men. It's like, but the concept is, you know, men are raised that they can be whatever they want to be, right? President of the United States, right? They can be whatever they want to be. You know, children are not on the forefront, right? If they, you know, you just forge for yourself, you create for yourself. And I wanted women to start feeling that power too. And I think we're so long overdue. And I know for myself, like, you know, there is a lot of guilt and shame in my family to where people still don't understand me. You know, my mom still doesn't understand me, right? She just thinks like, oh, when's poor Crystal going to find, you know, the love that she's desiring? And I'm like, oh my gosh, she just doesn't get it, right? That like my love that I desire is within me, right? My love, like I am filled with more love than I ever thought that I could. And I've been single for so many years. But when I was married, right, I felt the less love I've ever felt in my entire life, right? And that was a great example of, you know, how for me personally, you know, you don't find that love, you know, with another partner. You know, you really do have to build. Again, it gets back to like building that soul up, right? Building that energy up. And then, of course, now I feel like I have so much love to offer. So if I were to walk into a relationship, it would be so different because I have so much to offer now because I know exactly who I am. And that's really the ascending woman, is not being judged and not having the guilt and shame of what society or what our mothers, what our fathers have really put on us and really raised us to be, right? That you can be, you know, a beautiful woman and create for herself and not have to have the need for a family or not have to have the need to get married. But if that is something that you want to do, then more power to you too, and rise up and own that too. And you know, another thing is, you know, I was in private aviation for several years. So I've worked with, you know, the world's billionaires, you know, the world's elite, you know, athletes and, you know, actors and that, directors, all that kind of stuff. I've seen it all. And it's such an intimate space, right? Being in a steel tube for, you know, 12, yes. 18, 20 hours, yeah. Right? And just seeing the craziest things. And what I saw really, I mean, I'm so happy I saw it, you know, for 13 years straight, but it was, I would say 0.01% when I saw a strong woman on a plane.
Wow.
0.01%. It was a lot of strong men, of course, and it was, and I hate to say it, but it was the women as wives that would just come on, and they didn't have a drive for themselves, right? They didn't have a career for themselves, right? Their career was, you know, marrying this man. And 10 times over, you know, you see whatever goes on, right? And the women just put up with it. And it just made me so sad. And the women were so unhappy. The men were so unhappy. And it just taught me that it's like, it doesn't matter how much money you have in this world, right? It does not matter whatsoever. You could be, you know, the bum on the corner, or you could be the billionaire over here, and they're still not happy, right? They're still not happy. So what makes a person happy? And so, of course, women are my passion, because I love being in a female body. I love being a woman. I love, like, my goddess energy. I love my sisters. You know, I love my brothers. You know, I love all of that. But, like, that whole concept of being competitive or jealous with women, and I saw that for so many years in my field, right? I mean, I was taught, you know, I was told by several companies, you know, to make sure that I was covered from neck all the way down, my hands all the way down to my feet, you know, to really sort of make myself less attractive, you know, so the wives would feel comfortable, you know, and that happened so many times. And it's like, oh my gosh. And I just felt so bad for these women, that they would be in these situations that if, you know, if another woman, you know, was in their space, that they would feel uncomfortable. Right. And I took it upon myself to, at that time, you know, I didn't know back then I was creating the Ascending Woman, but I had a lot of pride in my work, to where I always wanted to make these women comfortable, right? I always wanted them to, like, walk on that plane and for them to feel completely secure in themselves. And I always felt like that was a gift I was offering them, right? Mm. Being like, you know, like, own who you are, right? And have power with you are, because a lot of them just let their personal power go. So I always felt like it was kind of my job to be like, you know, boost these women up for, you know, even if they were real jerks to me. And believe me, I've had some real jerks. But I still wanted to lift my sisters up. And I just, you know, the concept of that we should, you know, be in competition, or we should be jealous, you know, I mean, I just, it makes me uncomfortable to think that, right? And I really want to move away from that. And that was really what my guides were talking to me about, as far as, like, ascension goes, right? That we've been living through this third chakra information, which is all about competition, right? And jealousies and career, and really moving into our heart space, right? To where we can support each other, and we don't have to go into fear that, you know, because this person has this man, or this person has this job, that there's not going to be enough for me, right? That right. whole, like, grabbing onto that. So I really want to grasp that concept and just allow women to feel that they're so supported, and that they can be exactly who they want to be, right? It doesn't matter if you are mother, if you're child, if, you know, you're a home creator, or, you know, you're a business owner, that it doesn't matter, as long as you're happy and we're lifting each other up here. That's the Ascending Woman.
Oh, I just love that. And you said so many things that I love. You're kind of my hero right now, because I was also in a very bad marriage. It was awful. And when you said you actually felt less loved in a relationship than you do now, and that's me. I've been single for a very long time. And so that makes sense to me. And I just love, you know, that you do have this fire. I mean, at a very young age, you just took charge. It's like, yeah, I'm getting that job. And then you took charge again when you decided, this relationship isn't serving me. And you just kept listening to that intuition. So I think it's so important for everyone, women especially, probably, to hear that. So
actually, I just wanted to jump in real quick and add, Carol and I were actually just talking about this morning. Astrologically, this is a great time. I don't know if you follow astrology, but with Uranus moving into Taurus, which Uranus being the planet of rearranging everything, and then Taurus is ruled by Venus, which is huge feminine energy. So we now have this planet that wants to sort of reconstruct and redo everything, being ruled by feminine energy.
Exactly.
So I think that's going to be very powerful.
Oh my gosh, I just got angel bumps with you saying that. Yes, 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 and yes, right? We need more heart openers, right? We need to have, you know, yes, yes. And really feminine energy, right? I don't want our, you know, men counterparts to think that, oh, you know, all of us women, we're just going to have this huge party. No, because we all have this feminine energy within, right?
Absolutely.
It's really big. Yeah, it's the men's feminine energy coming up too, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's so beautiful. Oh my gosh, I totally love that.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Good point, Deb. Yeah, I forgot we were just talking about that. So yeah, it's just interesting. And it was just, we were meant to have that conversation, apparently.
Mm-hmm. So I love it.
I'm just being mindful of the time. I we're going to have you back because there's just so much to talk about. You know, one of the stories I love you tell is about your dog, Luna, and that ties into what you were talking about earlier about reincarnation. And so maybe if you could briefly tell the listeners that story, because I think it's really special.
Oh, how she came back to me.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's my favorite story to tell. Yeah. And I'll try to wrap it up real quick. Yeah. Well, when I was married, my husband had given me a timeline on to have kids. An ultimatum. I know. And that within 2 years of getting married, like I was supposed to start procreating. And you know, and of course, at the time, you're like, sure, sure, sure. And then the time comes, right? And then you're like, ah, no, I can't do this. And so I really pacified him by saying, hey, let's get a dog. Let's start with a dog. How about that? And so like anything that I do, like I go head first, right? Like if I'm going to be a dog owner, like I'm going to be the best dog owner. So let me get like every book here to figure out like how I could be the best dog owner. And so I was so blessed that this little bulldog, his name was Rocco, came into my life. And oh my goodness, I could just cry thinking about him. It was just the sweetest little thing. And poor little thing was just, you know, this giant beast, right? But he had the most gentle heart. And if you know anything about bulldogs, they just are these very, very gentle souls.
Yeah.
And he was a Cancer. And so he was so sensitive. And so like, you know, my house, right? My marriage was kind of volatile and I've never been into confrontation, but my husband absolutely was. And this poor little soul of a guy, this little emotional Cancer, right? He just was so sensitive to any sort of loud noise. And that was all that my husband was about. So he always stuck to my side, right? And I always felt like I was so apologizing to him. Like, I'm so sorry. And, but I just loved him so much and I didn't know that I was going to love him that much, right? And that was always been the biggest gift of my animals is discovering like this love within me. And I'm sure it's something, you know, I don't have kids, so I'm sure it's something, you know, that moms always talk about, right? So that's my, you know, closest experience. But so there was an immense love. And then when I decided to leave my husband, you know, of course we had a great home. We had all these toys, you know, that's what you do when you want to mask, you know, the unhappiness, you buy all this stuff. And, so I was like, I'm just going to take Rocco. That's it. Like, I just want my car. I just want Rocco. I'm just going to go and move in with my parents and I don't want anything else. I just want Rocco. And so he was just really my sidekick and thank goodness I had him, you know, during my divorce. And then I lost him to spleen cancer and it was very, very, very difficult on me. Oh, you know, but everyone goes through it, you know, and that's, you know, that's the way it is. And, but my whole heart was just torn out, of course. And so it took me about a good year and a half to really recover from that. But when I had Rocco, I worked with an animal communicator. Her name is Laura Stinchfield, and she's just absolutely amazing. And she is able to speak with animals just how you and I are speaking. It's really just, I mean, she's really shifted my space completely with how I work with my animals. And so she was very familiar with him. And I was actually on a trip. I was touring with Ozzy Osbourne at the time. And I was, I was in Lima, Peru. And I got, and my sister was watching Rocco. And I got the news that he, you know, he was playing and having a wonderful time. And then all of a sudden, you know, he just went downhill. And so I was very, very shooken up. And so, of course, I connected with Laura right away. And I was like, is there a way that you can connect with him? And so we ended up over that year and a half time period connecting with him in spirit. And he kept saying, I guess my cousin who passed early, you know, he greeted him and he said that he was going to be taking care of him until I was ready to have him come back to me. And so there was a lot of information that she was able to pass along to me about him and how he was going to come back to me. And there was times where he says, you know, it would, make me tear up where he would say, you know, I'm just resting, you know, I'm regenerating my body. I'm ready. And I just really miss your touch. You know, I just really miss your touch. But he knew I wasn't ready. And then, you know, one day I just woke up and I was ready. And I won't get into the details. There was a lot of signs and synchronicities. And then, Luna very easily within 24 hours came to me. Right. Aww. And I know. And so of course I was filled with a lot of fear, you know, am I doing the right thing? Can I love, you know, can I love her as much as I loved him? You know, is it him? And then, she flew in actually, and she was about 100 feet away from me. You know, the handler was carrying her, and she saw me from 100 feet away at 9 weeks old and just went out of her skin.
Oh, I just got goosebumps.
Oh my gosh. I will send you a picture of our reuniting. And, it was just, and at 9 weeks old, she's never left my side. She's never, I mean, I have a leash for society, but she's been this little lady since she was 9 weeks old. And the moment she, I took her to Laura at 10 weeks old and she remembered everything.
Oh,
she remembered everything. She goes, oh, I remember you. I was wondering when my mom was going to bring me back to you. And then she says, hey, and then she said, oh, you know, my grandpa used to give me ice cream when I was Rocco. Do you think he'd give me ice cream still?
Oh my gosh. I love it.
There were so many details. Yeah. And my older sister was going through a really hard time when she was watching him when she was Rocco. She was going through a divorce too. And he, Luna, you know, at 10 weeks old even said, you know, and my aunt, you know, she used to think the world was falling down on her. And now she's like, hey, it's not so bad. There was so many things. And wow. So there's my little Luna. Yeah. And she's just my sidekick. She's the best thing and the best thing to happen to me, but it shows how love just evolves, right? And how love is eternal.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And both Deb and I have our fuzzy kids too. So I love stories like that.
Oh, there are earth angels.
They definitely are. Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that. So if you're up to it, would you mind giving each of us a mini reading?
Oh my goodness. I'm always up for it because like I said, I learn so much. And so that's the wonderful thing. I love reading because I learn so much. Now, of course, Deb and Carol, I spoke about this a little bit before we connected that we all were having a party on the asshole last night. And so,
no wonder we're so tired, Deb. We're both so tired.
I know. We were out partying. So exactly. We were connecting. Yeah. Yeah. Now, Deb, I want to talk about you first because you were the one. I got a lot of information as I was sleeping last night, but of course, like as I'm taking a peek at it now, of course, more information is going to flow in. But you were the one that came into me first, so I'm sorry, Carol. So we're going to talk about Deb first.
I'm happy to listen.
Okay. So first and foremost, Deb. Now, I want to talk. Each one of you had a guide that came to me and wanted you to know who they were. Now, it is. Oh my goodness. Okay. So Deb. So the guide that came forward for you. Her name is Ema, E-M-A, Ema. Now she is this, oh my God, she is this like warrior tribal goddess. Now she's the type that she like just forges through, right? She has all of these tribal tattoos all over her. And she's sort of dressed in sort of like leathers and fur, right? She has like, you know, she's got all of this stuff going on. She's so powerful. And she has this really cool like tool that she uses in her right hand that sort of just allows you to keep your balance. And that's really why she's here. So she's this warrior goddess. So if you ever are feeling like you have to tap into your warrior goddess, you know, all you can do is just sort of talk to her.
Awesome.
But the way that she comes in and shows me, it's like, I see I see Mother Earth. And the way that she shows me is sort of, she helps you keep your balance. Like one foot on earth and one foot on the astral. Mm. And so if there's times where you're like, oh my gosh, like I'm not really grounding myself, or, you know, I'm just sort of like floating off and I know I need to come back to earth. Or maybe there's times where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling sort of like so dense and just sort of here on earth. Like I need to connect with my spirituality more. Mm. Just connect with her because she really is trying to help you keep that balance. And sometimes it's hard, especially when you're a light worker like yourself, to really keep that balance, right? Sometimes we have an affinity of going to the astral more. Sometimes it's like we sort of just need to take a break from all the work we're doing on the astral. So she's going to be really instrumental in helping you keep that balance. And that's why she's here. And I ask her how long she's been with you for, and I get the last 3 to 5 years. Oh, and she comes in as like such a strong force for you. And like, she really sort of protects your space too. Hmm. then so then I want to take a peek at your energy, and you're running this really beautiful self-healing energy. And the way that I see that is sort of like really, like almost like the color of like a blue sky, right? Mm-hmm. It's that really, really beautiful, soft color. And that's what I read. I read energy and information. And so I read energy as a color and then information as pictures. So the self-healing energy that you're going through, so maybe you're experiencing it now. And if you're not, you're just about to.
Okay.
And you're just going to be really aware of like your self-care, right? And your self-nurturing and sort of like really healing from within, it seems like. So I think that winter probably has been a really good thing for you. It seems like there's been like a really large like regeneration factor for you. And I think that's been part of your self-healing. And it's not going to be that you're going to be, you know, like a recluse by any means. And you're like, I'm just going to sit in the bath all day long and self-care. It's not really that. It really seems to be that you're just really becoming aware of your, like the space around you so much. And you're really coming from like the center of your head, right? That's really like the master control position of your mind, body, and soul. And really being able to like see this self-healing energy that you're running. And I do think that you start to really care for yourself, like really care for yourself even on a deeper level. And I think that's really loving all of the parts of you too. Like when I take a peek at it, it's almost like you're picking up pieces of you that you sort of left behind and you're sort of like bringing those puzzles in. Yeah. So that's what I got for you, Deb.
And great.
Now, Carol.
Thank you.
Yeah. I hope that helps. Sure.
Yes,
sure.
Absolutely.
Good. Now, Carol, so what I got for you now, I'm going to talk about the energy you're running first, and then I'm going to talk about the guide because it's really the energy that you want me to talk about first.
Okay.
So the way that you came in was like, and it's very relatable to how I was talking about, and no wonder, you know, we connected through the Ascending Woman and all this sort of a thing, because the way that you're showing me is all of a sudden your heart, like I look at your space and you just have this immense heart that's just ready to burst out. And it's like just sort of like thumping, right? And beating at your heart. And around it is this really, really beautiful orange color. And so when I look at that orange and then I ask what it means, you know, it's really about rapid growth. So your heart space is really going through, whether you're experiencing now or you're going to just, your higher self is going to create some experiences for you to feel this. Your heart is really going through this rapid growth and it feels like it happens really quick. Now, how that can look here on earth, a lot of the times, you know, we could be surrounded by so much love, right? Where you're like, oh my gosh, my heart is expanding so much. Or it could be something, you know, like your divorce or my divorce, where like everything's like ripped from you, right? And all you have left is your heart, right? And for you able to heal it. So I think that you're going to experience, like when I look at it and I ask my guides, I think you're going to have sort of a balance of both. So, and I think that you're going to be working this for about the next like 4 to 6 months of really sort of like your heart goes out and then it's sort of, you sort of self-reflect on it and then it grows and then you self-reflect. And so it's going to be some stages for you, but it's really, really beneficial for you. And it does look like that Wi-Fi signal where it's just like your heart energy is really just really heading out into the world and really wanting to make itself known into the world. And I think it's with your work. And I also think it's within your community, right? In your personal self. So
great.
I think it's really, really beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. And then the guide that wants to come in for you, her name is Joanna, like Johanna. That's what I meant to say. Johanna, like there's a in there, mm-hmm. Johanna. And she reminds me of like Archangel Jophiel, if you've ever seen a picture of her. Yeah. Yes. And she's all about beauty, right? Like she's just surrounding you with like all this like beautiful energy. And when I say beauty, and of course, this is part of the Ascending Woman, it's not looks, right? It's not just exclusive to looks, right? It's really about like everything is beautiful. And when you're running that beauty energy, right? Like everything is just like, everything seems to be beautiful. And that's really what you're starting to like run and really starting to see. So she's so beautiful for you. But what she does is like, I see you and your energy. And she stands right in front of you and she walks forward along your path. So we all have this path that we're walking down, right? And so she sort of walks in front of you, but it's not as if she's leading you because of course we're the leaders of our guides, right? Like we're the boss. We're the ones that, you know, chose to take this darn body here on earth. You know, they praise us for that. You know, they're like, we're happy, you know, Deb and Carol did, you know, we can't do it. So let's just support them on their path. So it's not as if she's leading, but what she's doing is she's sort of paving the way for your path. And what she shows me is sort of removing these tough obstacles that have been along your path. And they're showing up as sort of like boulders, right? And so she's sort of clearing them out. And how that is essentially like working with your contracts, right? And sort of like revising your contracts to where like you can still learn the same thing, right? You could still learn, you know, the path of love, but it doesn't mean that your heart has to be ripped out for you to love, you know, for you to learn it. You can be filled with so much love around you that you're feeling that love. So that's really what she's working on, sort of shifting those contracts for you, sort of removing those obstacles. And I think they've gotten so much easier for you, right? I mean, like, it sounds like we're sort of along the same path. And she's been with you since your divorce. And I know it sounds like we probably, you know, made the same decision around the same time. And, you know, we've been living the single, you know, quote unquote, single life for so many years. Yeah. And that's really because she's really helped you along the way. So it looks like your path is, I mean, I don't want to, you know, tell anyone like, oh, you know, it's smooth sailing from here on out, because we're always going to experience something. But you have Johanna right there to sort of, you know, be like, I think I can convince her higher self to experience this in a little bit of an easier way. So it's really wonderful. So I hope that helps.
Oh, it does. It does. You know, what's really interesting, I just thought of this right before I was falling asleep last night. You know, sometimes, you know, your leg will kick out or something happens that kind of startles you. Well, this was like, it felt like somebody rubbed my head, like somebody just kind of tapped my head or patted me on the head, and it totally jolted me. You know, afterwards I'm like, oh, I wish I didn't get so scared. Maybe something else would have happened. But now I wonder if it was Johanna.
Oh yeah. Let me ask her. I feel like it was a male energy that did that.
Could have been my dad.
I was just going to say, well, I didn't want to say like, is your dad here or not? But I felt that it was your dad. Yeah.
Because that's something he used to do. Okay, so that's really cool. Oh.
Yeah. Because right away I got father, and I definitely got male. I got father, and it was almost as if you were the image that he sent to me was, and of course this could be a metaphor, but essentially you laying in his lap and sort of like rubbing
your hair. The image I had gotten when you started talking about him. Yes. That's, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's your dad.
Well, this has been so incredibly special. And honestly, we could talk to you all day.
Oh yes, definitely.
But thank you so much for being so generous with your stories, your time, your gifts. We so appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. We were thrilled to chat with you, and we'll definitely, we'd love to have you back, or maybe have you and Dr. Cielo together, and we can just have a big party.
Fun. Yes.
So listeners, for those of you that would like to get in touch with Crystal or hear, you know, read or hear more about her, her website is crystalsunshinepsychicservices.com. And that will also be in the show notes. As always, our podcast is available on our website, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And once again, Crystal, thank you so, so much.
Oh my goodness. I have just had the most wonderful time, and I am so appreciative of both of you. And I know we're soul sisters and we're playing on the astral anyway. So thank you all so much. And thank you to the audience. I really look forward to working with you.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.